Number 87 in your programs, but number one in your heart.
I
Dave.
See what you did.
That's cute. I like that.
Yeah,
that's
I know. You should, coming from a guy from Pittsburgh.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yes, hi and hello. And welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, everybody. I hope all's well wherever you are here in Studio 66. I am seated next to two of the finest guys to catch pro football passes over the last quarter century, and I'm glad they're here because I want to dig in on that very subject, especially after earlier in the week, Antonio Brown named number two overall in the NFL's top 100 here. Beyond just the current players, though, where does Antonio Brown rank among the Super Bowl era? Maybe we'll go quarter century here. I want to talk some quarterbacks. This is the time to do it. I don't know if you've looked at NFL.com, fellas. That's all they're doing. David Carr giving his last list of the top 10 QBs, putting his brother at number four and Ben Roethlisberger outside the top 10. That's just one of his slights, so I figure we can do it. Now, let me introduce the fellas that I broadly mentioned here. First of all, he caught passes off the right arm of Aaron Rodgers for many moons, went up to Oakland. Now he's seated to my immediate left, as I say, soon to be inducted into the San Jose State Hall of Fame. Yes, how about
sir.
That?
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. The best-smelling man in pro football.
Yes, sir. I tried.
Easy.
James Jones.
Appreciate it.
How are we, fella?
I'm good, man.
Mazel tov on the upcoming honor for you.
Appreciate it. I appreciate it. I'm excited about it. Should be good.
And then seated next to James Jones, a guy who I think is – among his many honors, one day is going to pull on that gold jacket. Before
yes,
that,
sir.
Though, he's going to be added to the Colts Ring of Honor in Indianapolis. Of course, toiled for the U many moons ago. Number 87, it's Reggie Wayne.
Hey,
what's the poop with you, fellow?
Hey, and I'm also a great-smelling young man.
Are you?
Yeah. All right.
He in the locker room with me.
Just
so.
Trust me. I don't need you sniffing.
I was just going to say, I'll be the judge of that.
I don't need that. I don't need that, Dave.
All right. Hey, before we got going here, and there are a number of things I want to talk about, James Jones, you may have heard that many out there, including one Tony Romo, has announced that the Green Bay Packers are the so-called team to beat in 2018. I declared on our last DDFP, Reggie Wayne, that your former team, the Indianapolis Colts, are one of a handful of teams that I can positively declare are not going to be in the 2018 postseason. Mm.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Yeah. Dave, always try you every time you come
I'm not trying anything. I'm just telling you a feeling.
Do you wake up a hater every morning?
Why is that a hater? Why is that a hater?
Every morning? What did Indianapolis do to you?
I want to tell you something. I have nothing against the good people. I matriculated an hour south of there in Bloomington, Indiana. I have
that's what I don't understand.
Dave said I got Reg coming on the show today. Oh, yeah, the Colts are
making
the play.
It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day.
It has nothing to do with that.
You
see the sign on the door, Mr. Wayne. It says no jive,
no
and
jive.
That's all I'm doing is I'm not jiving anybody, including you two. Now, before we got going with anything else, before we do anything else, as you guys walked in here, I don't even know what I said. Oh, I said the greatest running back of all time, and before I could complete the sentence, you guys both jumped in with Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders.
Absolutely.
Barry Sanders is the greatest Sanders. Runner you've ever seen. You start, James
Greatest
Jones.
Runner I've ever seen put on a pair of cleats. And I know a lot of guys want to go to stats, want to go to this, want to go to that. But Barry Sanders running behind the lines that he ran behind. Every running back that came behind Barry Sanders wanted to be Barry Sanders. Even the ones that the Emmitt Smiths,
yes,
those guys,
absolutely,
wanted to be Barry. And he set the standard. No disrespect to Walter Payton. He is a great. But in my humble opinion, Barry Sanders is the greatest running back that I've ever seen.
I don't think it's a crazy opinion. I do think, though, that the one thing that everybody points to is they said he had no fullback. That was a passing offense in some of his prime seasons. Yeah, they spread it out, and it was easy to thrive if you're going empty backfield and the defense is focused on three and four receiver sets back in the day when that wasn't as prominent.
This is one of the things why I truly believe that Barry Sanders was the greatest ever, because
he had Scott Mitchell.
Before Barry Sanders hit the scene, We've never seen nothing like him.
I love that point. That's
we've,
right.
We've never seen nothing like him.
No, he was a trendsetter.
When he hit the scene, it was like, what in the world is this man doing on that football field? And he was a special talent. And that's why, in my book, I will always put Barry Sanders at number one.
Listen, you're not crazy. Nobody who says Barry Sanders is the best is a lunatic. You agree with that?
I do. Barry Sanders did great things with less. It's the same thing I say with Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton plays his best ball with less around him. Now he has to be the ultimate team player and have to do everything. That was Barry Sanders. Now, they did have Herman Moore out there, who was one of my favorites, you know, but
Brett Perriman for a couple of years was nice.
Another Miami guy. But you knew when Barry got the ball, it was never a negative game. It was always positive.
You know what's funny about that? You say that, but that is, in fact, the knock that I put against Barry Sanders. He liked to try to hit the home run so much. There were a lot of games that you'd be watching, and they'd go to the locker room at the half, and he was like 8 carries for 9 yards because he liked to he would dance long enough to see if he could hit the home run most of the time.
He knew to win, he had to score.
It's a fair point.
So sometimes you might lose some yards trying to get the big game. That's the price you pay.
He was the quarterback of the team. He had to make the play every time.
I'll stick with sweetness. I will still say just for posterity's sake, I'll say the guys who get forgotten about too often when these lists come out, like the one we're putting together currently. Earl Campbell.
Ooh!
For 6 years.
Man,
position more so than your position. Listen. Or quarterback, it's not about longevity to me. It's as much as what was that prime? What was that?
You said get left off. I mean, he will never get left off my list. Earl Campbell was an animal.
Talk about a revelation who you've never seen speed on a guy that size. That was something to behold. Eric Dickerson, I feel like he also gets slept on.
He gets slept on.
Yeah, he does.
He gets slept on a lot. I think it was more because of the goggles.
Yeah.
People that really kept the Jerry curl hanging out of the back.
Because even I may sleep on Dickerson a little bit.
You know why? It's the for some reason nobody questions Jerry Rice is the greatest receiver of all time.
I do.
But Eric Dickerson, do you really?
Yeah, I think Randy
Moss. You're going to go Randy Moss.
I think Randy Moss is the greatest receiver.
You know what's crazy? The outside.
I mean, and you can argue forever, but
okay, we're going to get to that in a second. But I'll tell you what the thing about Eric Dickerson that for some reason I feel like dings him a little bit in public perception is it looked too easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I never remember him diving or anything. He just always was like like Michael Johnson, the sprinter, that super upright, like he was from 1960 running in the Olympics.
I'm going to tell you this, not to cut you off, Dave, but the one running back to me that gets overslept the most, and maybe you guys can tell me why, is Roger Craig.
Yeah, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
I think Roger Craig just because he has so many great pieces around.
It's not fair.
I know it ain't fair, but when you think of Barry Sanders, like you say, we named one guy. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the 49ers back in them days had some ballers.
They do. The media who votes on who gets a gold jacket and all that sort of thing, I do think that they do have – I don't think that they announce to each other that we have to draw a line somewhere. We can't put all these guys in the Hall of Fame. But I think somewhere in their heads it's like, all right, how many Niners are we putting in here already? Yeah. You know, there's certain guys who deserve it, and they're kind of hurt by the guys that they played around.
Yeah.
It's sort of the opposite of, like, the U effect, you know? If you play at the U and you're trying to establish as a scout, like, well, is this guy good or is he just doing well because he's surrounded by
players.
NFL-level talent?
Well – what do you think, you guys?
But then when them you guys, got when them you
Pittsburgh
guys,
runs a couple of University.
I think
Miami
LC Greenwood
guys.
Belongs in the Hall of Fame, certainly. Yeah.
There you go.
I could make some cases for you. They did get it right with Lynn Swann and John Stallworth, even though the numbers don't live up to 21st century.
I know. We're not even going to talk about
it. I'm not making that case with you now. That's not what I'm here for.
I mean, I'm just saying I like those guys.
Are you saying the Indianapolis Colts are going to the playoffs? You disagree with my assertion that
they're going in the Ring of Honor? There's only one answer for that.
Listen. they'll make the playoffs.
You know this is being recorded. You understand?
He see the cameras.
Okay. Yeah, I want to make sure. There's nothing wrong with the cameras or anything?
Oh, it's all they got him. It's over now.
I have a very special Christmas present ready for Reggie Wayne at the end of the 2018 season. All right. In the meantime, so Romo says the Packers are the team to beat. What do you guys think? You guys have been in both of you were on great teams, not just teams like, oh, this team could make a play or could go to the playoffs. No. You guys, at this very time, late June, early July, were on teams that were being, oh, this team better go to the Super Bowl.
Bet not do it, James. You bet not do it, James.
You can declare that they're –
bet not do it.
I like – well, you know what?
I think Romo is – probably one of the smartest guys in the world today. You know what I mean? Because
where's Romo from?
That is absolutely true, man. You think you get the greatest quarterback to play the game.
We agree on that.
Aaron Rodgers back. You get a guy, a new toy in Jimmy Graham. You get a guy in Mercedes.
It doesn't have to be everything.
You get a guy in Mercedes. You got Randall Cobb. You have Devontae Adams. Then when Aaron got hurt, you realize, okay, we have two young studs at running back.
Absolutely.
You know, so now you know you can go to the running game.
I love both those guys.
Then you draft two corners who I've been told are some studs as well, and you get your Mon Williams back, and everybody's saying he's looking great. So, you know.
Plus Kevin King.
And then you got two very good safeties in Jones and Ha-Ha. So, I mean, I think everything that's there – I mean, Romo sees it, and he's very smart. But once you have number 12 behind the center, I think you're automatically.
Keep him nice and clean this year for us.
You're automatically the team to beat. Before he left last year, they were 4-1. I mean, who knows where they would have been sitting. So, and now you even get a better defense, some guys that.
It's not going to be even a mediocre defense. Yeah. That's going to be a good defense.
You get Muhammad Wilkerson in there as well with Mike Daniels.
With Kenny Clark and with 76 out there, yeah.
It can be problems, and I think – Romo being from Wisconsin, he sees the roster and
he wants
sees
cheese.
Who's behind center. He's like, man, this team right here, a lot of people don't want to say it, but I think they are the team to beat.
I kind of agree. Reggie, though, so you guys both were in that situation yourselves where it was like, this has got to be the year. We got to make a run. And I've been thinking about this a fair amount because, like I mentioned, Antonio Brown, second best player in the NFL per his peers. Le'Veon Bell is, what, the fifth or sixth or whatever he came down. Roethlisberger still in the handful of really great QBs who can win games by himself, even if he doesn't have great talent around him. I think that's true. Now, you could argue back. That's, you know, they're top heavy. There's an outsized percentage of the cap that is going to just three guys, and then you have the rest of the guys surrounding that. But still, that's where I come down. The 13-3 for the 2017 Steelers feels unsatisfying. You know, it feels like, they didn't really do much. So when you're in this boat in summertime in a year, it's like, wow, we got everything lined up. This should be the year. What's that like? Do you put pressure on yourself, Reggie? Are you on the phone with Peyton or anybody else and saying, like, come on, we can't blow it this year. What's the mindset before you even get to the camp and you're supposed to win?
The mindset is we're going to keep the same intensity. We're going to continue to apply pressure. I mean, you can't put extra pressure on yourself. Once you do that, everything goes haywire. So if you know you're a good team, you do the things that good teams do. You make sure you practice well. You go in each practice and make sure you limit all your mentals, all your errors. You don't need the outsiders to really tell you you're a good team. You know when you're good. You just got to go out there and win games. You got to win the games you're supposed to win. And those are the home games. You got to win
those. That's right.
Right? You go down. What we always did, and me and James talking about this earlier, we take each quarter of the season. We want to win each quarter, whatever that case may be, 3-1, 4-0, whatever. You want to win each quarter of the season. And if you do that, 9 times out of 10, the possibilities of you having home field advantage is huge. For us, that was always our thing, even though we won without having home field advantage. But – if you got home field advantage, and we always thought, like, if we can get those guys in our dome, you know, a.k.a. New England, right? We can get them at home, I think we'll win this game. And when we finally got them at home, we actually won. So we know we're good. We felt like I feel like the best team and everybody that I played with felt like the 2005 Colts that lost to Pittsburgh was the best team I ever played on. Like, we knew we were good, you know what I mean? But – it's just going out there and winning the games you're supposed to and not losing.
And I want to piggyback off that because when you're sitting in a locker room and you're looking around and you see Aaron Rodgers, you see Clay Matthews, you see Charles Woodson, you see Al Harris, You see Tremont Williams. You see Nick Collins. You see B.J. Raji. You see all these dudes on the defensive end. Then you come to the offensive side. You see Jordy. You see Greg Jennings. You see Donald Driver. You see James Jones. You see Randall Cobb. You see Jermichael Finley. You know that it's a time right now, a small window, because contracts are coming up. Injuries can happen. So you got to win when you got to win. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yes, I do.
You cannot say, oh, we'll be back next year, because nothing is given. When you have the opportunity to win, you have to win, especially when you have them great teams, because next year can come, injuries can happen. Everybody thought, oh, the Packers will be back, Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. Anything can happen. So when you have a chance to win, you have a special team, you have to capitalize on that. And when you don't, and we didn't, lost to the Giants a couple times, didn't, should have three Super Bowls, that's a long story. But anyways, when you have to win, you got to win those games, because the next season.
But you know what's interesting about that, though? Let me just ask you this, though, about that. Both of you guys say this: your best teams didn't win the Super Bowl. Right. You kind of backdoored it when you were on the road and you weren't supposed to do it. Right. That leads me to what we've talked about before: the curse of supposed to. When you're supposed to do it, that adds pressure on you, right? Or no? Am I being anecdotal?
Well, it adds. That's if you listen to the outside noise. You know what I mean? For us, it was always, man, we know we're gonna make these playoffs. Can we make the playoffs healthy? That's the key element. If you can get into the playoffs healthy, like, we knew we were going to be good. But every time the playoffs come, we have a nicked up Bob Sanders or something, you know, myself, whoever. And it would just knock us off beat just that little bit. And that's all that matters. When you're not on the same page, even if it's this much, offense and
was that defense? That odd five season, was it, were you thrown off by sitting down for a couple games at the end of pre?
Absolutely.
Both teams have done that.
Absolutely.
Both, and the Packers messed up our momentum.
Yeah. It messed up
our sometimes flow. The bye week can hurt you too, but when you're supposed to win.
Supposed to,
you better believe that you're getting the opponent's best shot. You know what I mean? Trick plays are coming. Exotic
game.
Blitzes you've never seen before are coming. You are getting their best shot. When you're under the radar, you sneak into playoffs, they might be like, okay, look, you know, underestimate you, and then boom, you start getting in there. But when you're supposed to, man, you're getting everybody's best
That's
shot.
That's what I'm getting
and
at.
It,
right.
And it is harder to win, and you got to be on your A game every single time. But still, you supposed to win them games, and you got to win because the next season is going to be
okay,
different.
Okay, well, in other words, if I'm reading between the lines, Romo has just put the bullseye on those Green Bay Packers here in summertime.
Well,
now they're supposed to do it.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. they already have a bullseye because of who their quarterback is.
That's right, yeah.
You know what I mean? And like James was talking about, you're going to get all those exotic blitzes and stuff. We saw that every week with Peyton Manning. Everybody tried to find a man – they played this team last week, and they did the same blitz as we do, and it didn't work. So now we gotta play Madden now. All of a sudden, now you gotta do all these different things, and you just pray that Peyton never saw it. At the same time, as Peyton sees it, we have to see it. We gotta adjust. So we got all those different things every single week. So by them having Aaron Rodgers, and we know the type of player Aaron Rodgers is, arguably the best quarterback in the league right now, right? You're gonna get everybody's best shot. Mm-hmm. You're gonna get everything. Even the kitchen sink. So you got to be ready. So I think the bullseye is already there.
And one thing I could say is a very good thing. No matter what Tony Romo says, everybody thinks the Vikings are the team to beat. You know, you get Kirk Cousins. You got that big-time defense. So everybody thinks in the NFC it's the Eagles and the Vikings, really.
The Eagles.
The team to beat.
That's
so
the team to beat.
When Aaron,
they're supposed to keep going.
When Aaron slaps up on the Vikings and Zimmer and them, then it's going to be – boom, bullseye on your back. This team is the real deal.
Is
this
that a
team,
prediction that we just heard there?
This team is the team to beat in the NFC.
These cameras are on.
I don't know if it's a prediction. It's a fact. When he beat up on the boys, then the bullseye are going to be on the Packers.
And by the way, Detroit is a sneaky good team too.
Absolutely.
And the Bears, everybody's calling for them to at least be better.
That's a very good division over there.
That's some division.
The only thing about Detroit is every time you get ready to taste the Kool-Aid, it ain't no sugar in it.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
it's
a little sour. A little sour.
Think it's going to taste good, but it's just, oh.
I hear you. And I also, I hate to be a cynic, but I think, again, supposed to, Kirk Cousins wasn't supposed to. He was the back. He was drafted in D.C. to be the backup to RG3. And, well, some people liked him better than RG3 or whatever. And then he had a couple and I took that playoff run and everything. Now he's a $30 million man. He's supposed to cover up all the bad stuff that extra money he got is supposed to obscure for you. I don't know. Again, he's supposed to carry a team now.
Poster, but we're going to see.
He does have good receivers at minimum.
We're going to see.
He's got
a very good tight end.
All right, go ahead. Reggie just said arguably, and everything's arguable. I'm going to start with you because I know where you are going to come down at the top here, James Jones, and I'm also buying Reggie a second to think about this. Win, play, show. The guys you've seen last quarter century, quarterbacks go. Win, play, show. Best quarterback you've seen is obviously you're going to go Rodgers. There's not going to be a doubt.
I'm going Aaron Rodgers, and I'm strictly going Aaron Rodgers because I'm
Brett
going –
Favre?
I'm strictly going Aaron Rodgers because I'm going back to what I just told you about Barry Sanders.
Nothing ever like it.
When he hit the field, we've never seen nothing like it. Every quarterback that comes out of the draft now is really compared to Aaron Rodgers. How does he throw outside of the pocket? You know what I mean? How strong is his arm inside the pocket? Every play that you show that a young quarterback is making, they compare it to Aaron Rodgers. And everybody, when you see Aaron Rodgers make some of these throws, it's a wow factor because we've never seen this done before.
That's
like
right.
This.
You and I have gone over and over the fact that Aaron Rodgers has a different – that the ball comes out of his hand with a different quality.
It's totally different. And what a lot of people don't understand about Aaron Rodgers is he's a freakish athlete.
That's right.
You know, like, you're not going to get the 4.3 out of him like Michael Vick, but he's that type of athlete. Like, he is a special player. And when he hit the field, we've never seen nothing like Aaron Rodgers. That's why every time he makes a play, all the reporters, everybody, analysts, everybody's like, wow. I mean, I've seen him make plenty better throws in practice than he makes in the game. So I'm not surprised about none of that. But just like I went back to Barry Sanders, when he hit the scene, we've never seen nothing like it. And in my opinion, that's the greatest.
I'm going to work backwards with Reggie Wayne. I don't want it to be anticlimactic. Who's your third place guy, Reggie Wayne?
Ooh, third.
Now we'll work up to your number one.
My third place is probably Drew Brees.
Drew Brees. So this means by saying Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, or Tom Brady is not going to make your winner circle there.
Yeah. Boy,
that's exciting. Why?
Gosh. Why Drew Brees?
Yeah, why so hip on Brees?
Because, for one, by the end of this season, he'll have the record all-time yards. He does it year in and year out. He was part of my draft class also, if you didn't
know. Wow, that's crazy.
And he was not a first
And this
runner.
Is the last 25 years?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm giving it a quarter. Right. So I don't expect you guys to have an opinion on Johnny U.
Every year, you know, Drew Brees is going to have about 4,500 yards passing minimum. Like, he does it all the time. I mean,
but you know where he doesn't do it? When it's cold outside. That's a knock against somebody. Isn't that a problem? That's your kryptonite.
No, that goes back to what I was saying earlier. We can get you at home in that dome. We control that temperature. It's a different ball game.
I worked out against Brett Favre and company about 8-10 years ago, however long ago that was. All right, that's an interesting one. James Jones, you give us your place. Win, place, show. So Rodgers won.
My number two?
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Uh-oh. That doesn't offend anybody.
I really don't have anything to say.
I don't think you have to explain it.
I'm waiting to hear this.
No, I mean, I always give Patriots fans and Tom a hard time, but I mean, obviously Tom is one of the greatest to ever do it. I mean, you talk about 5 Super Bowls, probably should have about 8 of them, you know, right now.
New York difference.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, them is a lot of close games. You got an undefeated team, you know what I mean, in the Super Bowl. I mean, you should win. You should have won that one.
Supposed
but,
to.
I mean, you're talking about a guy that, like you said, year in, year out, I mean, the man is 80 years old on the football field, and he's voted the best player
in the world
and the MVP of the National Football League. And that's credit to Tom, man. And when he gets on the field, to me, he's kind of like Eric Dickerson. He makes it look easy. effortless. You know what I mean? And he's
with less
stand in the pocket, everything flying at his feet. He just stand there, cool Tom, California cool man, delivering it. Team in the Super Bowl every year. I mean, you're talking about one of the greatest to ever do the
it's
game.
It's weird though, because everybody knows, everybody's seen the picture of him in his underpants at the combine, and everybody says, you know, knows that he didn't even start at Michigan most of the time. The thing with him is, as a, to your point about Aaron Rodgers, you can see how that ball comes with a flick of a wrist, how that thing is a laser 40 yards down the field. Ben Roethlisberger is a giant. You know, guys bounce off of him. He has these memorable plays. Peyton Manning, a genius. He's a coach on the field, all that stuff. Brady, wait, there's nothing to attach to him.
This is
it's
what
mysterious.
I do. This is what
Why
I
is
do.
That guy able to just this is what go I out do. There with bums and win Super Bowls?
This is what
don't
I do.
Call him bums.
This is all what right, I do believe about Tom Brady that gets overlooked. He has that Mamba mentality. He has that Mamba mentality, man. Tom, when he takes the field.
Why, because he screams?
believes that he's the best to ever do it. Believes with him on the field, his team will never lose. You know, and he shows that. And he has that Mamba mentality. It's some quarterbacks that I believe don't have that Mamba mentality. Tom has that Mamba
You think
mentality.
Guys – but everybody talks like they have. Almost every guy
absolutely.
Talks that way.
Yeah.
You can see through
you
guys.
You see it in
That's
Tom.
Phone, that guy's saying it, but he doesn't believe it. That guy does believe
it. You see it in Tom.
Interesting.
And, I mean, every time Tom get the ball and the game is on the line – I mean, everybody knows you're sitting at home
on
your
TV. Who doesn't have it? That's what we want to know.
I'm just saying, I don't think Peyton has the Mamba mentality. I never played with Peyton, but, you know, just watching him on TV and watching Tom on TV, I could tell who has the Mamba mentality. I don't think Peyton has that Mamba mentality. No disrespect. He's one of the greatest. But when you talk about Mamba mentality, Aaron got that Mamba mentality.
I think Peyton
but,
has.
But, yeah, I mean, you played with him. But
it's interesting because Peyton was big on for the metric of fourth quarter rallies.
Yes.
Peyton leads Rodgers by quite a bit. And I'm definitely Team Rodgers.
He's been playing longer than him too, though.
I know, but Rodgers has some weird, when trailing in the fourth quarter stats that don't work in his favor.
Everybody always want to go to these stats.
I'm just telling you.
Stats is overrated.
I'm with you 100% on Aaron Rodgers over everybody. You know,
but
still.
That Mamba mentality Tom has, I mean, he's my number two.
Who's your number two, Reggie Wayne?
My number two is Tom Brady.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Peyton, and that was going to be juicy.
No.
All right. So you'll go Brady. He's the second best for both of you guys. And bring it on home here. James Jones, your show, your third place quarterback that you've gotten to watch or play with.
Brett Favre.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. No Peyton. Doesn't even make the winner's circle for you.
Brett Favre.
Interesting.
Wake up with Hater Red also.
All right. And Reggie Wayne, bring it on home. Number seven, Ben Roethlisberger, the best you've seen.
No. Number seven?
Yeah. No, he's not your number one. Who's your number one?
Number one is Peyton.
All right.
Listen.
Number 18. You got to be loyal.
Listen, no, it's not even about that. Like, what impresses me about Peyton, like how you said Aaron Rodgers, he's more athletic than you think.
Mm-hmm.
We know Peyton doesn't have an athletic bone in his body.
Yeah.
And for him to do all that, it's all up here.
Yeah.
It's all upstairs. The way he thinks, like, it's been numerous times because teams always we always say, like, the whole disguising thing was because of us, because people, you know, we used to go to the line and didn't have a play call, right? And then Peyton kind of look at defenses, and once the defense tipped their hand, then we'll call a play. That's what it was. And the only thing it took was for a linebacker to blink wrong. And once that linebacker blinks wrong, he knows what defense you're in.
What if the linebacker got a dark visor?
Hey, guess what? he goes to the next linebacker. But that's what it always was. It always was. We'll go up to the line of scrimmage, so we didn't huddle. Yep. We'll go up to the line of scrimmage, and we wouldn't have a play call. Mm-hmm. He'd do all the gyrations, all the theatrics.
Don't mean nothing.
Right? Nothing.
Is that true?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When you're in that no-huddle offense.
It didn't matter. Because the only thing we're trying to do is.
Wait, am I the dummy who didn't know this?
Yeah, because Ben Roethlisberger and them, they go up there with a play nothing. Call. They can't do too much.
Well, wait a second. Did you guys know that that's all nonsense?
Yeah, I mean,
all the hand signals are nonsense?
It didn't matter.
I mean, all of them are nonsense, but for us, sorry to cut you off, Reg, but like for us, Aaron could come up there And, I mean, they still use this signal, so I can't give you the signal. But Aaron will come up there, give you all these signals. None of them mean nothing until he does one signal. And then after that.
It's a third base coach.
Yes. After that, that's the signal that you need to pay attention to. But all them other signals in between, you know what I'm saying?
I'm giving you all the terminology that you would hear if it was a TV copy. So it means something. It just didn't mean anything at that point in time. Because all thing Peyton is doing, he's waiting on somebody on that defense to tip their hand. And once they tip it, he's ready. Mm-hmm. And then he go ahead and, all right, here we go. You know,
last time you were in, Reggie, you gave us a fascinating two of the brighter QBs at quarterback. You got to play with Peyton and with Andrew Luck, and you told us the difference in their the way they compose themselves in the huddle and comport themselves in the huddle. Andrew Luck, though, for the Stanford kid, quarterback son, all that stuff, super smart guy, you're not denigrating Andrew Luck. You're saying Peyton was still at a higher level.
Yeah, Peyton was at a higher level just because he, you know, the way, like, the game wasn't over to Peyton until we were shaking hands with the opponents, you know, and then he's still walking in the locker room and he's wondering, like, damn, we should have got that third down. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Andrew Luck, if we up there, we get ready to take a knee, he's enjoying life. Boy, we did it. Man, we won this game. You know, so that was just, you know, with Peyton, it was just always business. It was strictly business up until we did the team prayer in the locker room. You know what I mean? Like, Andrew Luck, he's gonna find that one moment. Even if it's in the second quarter, you're going to find a smile on his face. And you're going to be like, man, what you smiling at? He's like, Man, did you see he had me by my ankles? I got out of it. You know what I mean? So it's always something. You know what I mean? So that's just the difference between those two guys.
That was a good little Andrew Luck impression you worked at there. I got me by the ankle there. Hey, James Jones, I'm forever fascinated by what goes on the field and the conversations you guys have. To your point about, you know, who's got the Mamba mentality and all that, Aaron Rodgers stands out to me from those other guys. We've seen Tom Brady berate teammates. We've seen that fire on the field, spiking the ball in foes' faces and all that. Peyton's got some of that. Even Russell Wilson, he's got a little nasty to him. Obviously, Roethlisberger. Breeze is maybe a little more laid back. But Aaron Rodgers seems super passive. He seems like he's a quiet.
He does.
Human being. Seems
he
like
does.
He's got a wry sense of humor and everything.
Exactly.
But that's
what's
what
he
I'm
like
saying.
In the huddle?
But that's
he-
what I'm saying. When you know the guy, I mean, you know if the guy got it. Like, I'll never forget in the Super Bowl when Pittsburgh went down there and scored, and we had to go back. I think we were up three, and we had to go down there and put together a drive to score. Aaron Rodgers came in the huddle like, I'm the big dog. I'm finna lead us down this field.
His you know body language said that, or he said those
I'm
words?
I'm the big dog. I'm finna lead us
he down said those
this
words
field.
To
you? Know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Is that right?
You know what I'm
I
saying?
Love that.
So, I mean.
In the big
like,
game. That's just, what you want.
And you know, like, even when Aaron, when he steps in the huddle, man, you know that, I mean, shoot. Yeah, he calm, but you know, especially even in practice, the way he prepares and all that type stuff, you know that this guy got it.
I could see
him. We are never out of a game.
I'll tell you this. I feel like to try and relate it to me. I've been in those writers' rooms where there are funny people. There are overtly funny people, but the guys who spook me the most are the guys that are sitting there real quiet the whole time, just evaluating. Those are the guys with a look can cause me to wither.
Yeah, just
I feel like Aaron Rodgers
like,
is like he doesn't yell at you maybe, but can he give you the stink eye and make you feel
bad? He's like a guy from the 70s that just didn't have any words.
But just like they always say, man, that guy get up in your face, he yelling, man, what's up? You won't fight one. Boom, he the first one knocked out.
But Peyton had the same thing. You know, you don't think he has the Mamba mentality, but like if we're down and we were big on our 2-minute offense stuff, right? Peyton would come in, he will huddle on the sideline, right? Say, hey, we got a minute and 30, just like we practiced. This is what we're going to do. We're going to run this play. I'm going to throw it to you. You're going to get out of bounds. You're going to get the ball back. It's going to be first and 10. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll have everything mapped out. It'd be like clockwork. And then all of a sudden, you go out there, right, and it happens that same way. You look at the dude like, man, like, you – what was your GPA, man? Like you're pretty smart. Like, where do you get this stuff from? But he plays it in his head so much. So he can just see
there
it
was
it
there was a there there's a sort of bloodless sort of strategy in 18 from the outside looking into me, that he would identify who's Waldo on the defense and just throw at him over and over and over again. If you're not going to do anything, DC, then I'm just going to keep throwing at this guy and embarrassing him all day.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Whereas
for an example, not to cut you off, in the playoff game, I don't remember what year it is. I'm getting old. We played the Denver Broncos, right? And then they had Lynch back there. They had Champ Bailey. They had all these guys. And this is the year that John Lynch and them say that our receivers were soft, right? Mm. They said, I think they're a little soft. So I took it personal. I really did. But out there, I mean, I don't know this guy. You know, I hope he's doing well. But they had Rock Alexander sticking me from – I think he went to the University of Washington, right? And I was like, who is Rock Alexander? It looked at me and said, hey, you're going to have a big game. Mm. And we continued to throw on him. And I started feeling sorry for the dude. Yeah. I really did start feeling sorry for him.
Yeah,
I had like 200.
You're jumping up over him. I'm sorry I'm doing this to you again.
I had like 200 and some yards in a playoff game. Like, it was like, man, y'all helped this dude
out. Next game,
like,
you wish he was out there.
I'll tell you, man. Like, where's Rock when you need him? I don't know where Rock
is. You can make a case. Best postseason wide receiver of all time in the Super Bowl era, at least, Reggie Wayne.
I'm with you.
I love that stuff. So, Aaron Rodgers, that's what I suspect. He's sneaky deep down.
He is.
It's not a secret to him, so he doesn't have to announce it to the world. But I imagine in the huddle, he's like, guys, obviously, this defense cannot stop me. Just catch the passes.
And we know it.
And he's that way, but he'll say that to you.
What I do love about 12, too, is he knows when it's time to say something. Like, you don't want to get those guys, or even as a quarterback, like, oh, here he go again. He coming over here, give us this more speech again, motivated this dude. Just do your job. He knows when it's time to say something. I mean, obviously, he knows he's the leader of the ball club. You know what I mean? We go as he goes. You know what I mean? But he knows when it's time to say something. You know what I mean? And I think that's the best thing about Aaron Rodgers. He knows when, okay, the team need me to step up right now. They need me to do something. They need me to say something.
That's like that 15-1 game is the 15-1 season.
Don't bring it up.
I won't. I'm going to bring it up to this extent. The thing that history has already forgotten is how great he was in that second half. That the team had a hard time catching passes that day.
You
know, receivers have amnesia, so I don't remember nothing you're talking about.
I don't want to drudge up any memories. Yeah, stay with the amnesia. I'll just tell Reggie. Some guys didn't catch some passes that day. But Aaron Rodgers, it's sort of like he ID'd it and he said, I'm just going to literally carry us. And he was running in the second half all over the place. And the other game that he does, the other thing that shows how great his all-time greatness is, even in a loss, the worst loss I've ever seen in a pro football game, at least, and maybe in a sporting event ever, is the Green Bay Packers up in Seattle when the Seahawks are going for their
second
straight
time. Huh?
That's the worst game I've ever seen, because there were 8 plays in the second half that I've counted that had one of them gone the Packers' way. You guys win that game, and Rodgers was dynamite.
Yeah,
and he was hurt too. Remember all that? Yeah. So, you have amnesia.
He didn't have that supporting cast he should have had.
Now, he tried to shoot.
Reggie, do you wake up every day as a hater?
You know what I'm saying? You're drinking a haterade over there,
Saying my quarterback. You said, talk about my quarterback. Didn't have mama mentality.
How we doing on that? I love this debate of like two guys who are like, they got the same mama mentality as Brady. Those are the two. Those are 1A, 1B, and 1C right there. Hey, are we doing okay on time, or do you guys got to run?
I don't got to go nowhere.
I'm good for a little while.
Okay, then let's do this. This is the time of year where people are doing this. I don't know that we could do much better than having James Jones and Reggie Wayne here for this conversation. Antonio Brown, is on track, and he is right now. He's got to play a couple more years for this to come to fruition. But I assume, unless he just his numbers and otherwise fall off the cliff, he retires as one of the 3 best wide receivers of the Super Bowl era. I think he's tracking in that direction now. I think that you would say Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, and AB is going to be in that top 3. But you know what? I'm on the outside looking in. I turn to you guys. Let's start it here. I have 9 names, and I don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, and please take no offense at this. Here are the 9 names I think you would put into contention, and probably we can actually start out by cutting out Michael Irvin. all due respect to 88, the playmaker. He's probably not the greatest receiver of all time. Megatron, Steve Largent, Marvin Harrison, Larry Fitzgerald, Terrell Owens, Antonio Brown, Randy Moss, Jerry Rice. I want to get the top five by the time we're done here in the next
Hell, you should have had me before Mike Irvin.
I thought the one that you wouldn't love is here in 88 and that who had the horseshoe on the side.
Marv was a dog. He wasn't the best.
Yeah, Marv was a monster. But
so Mike Irvin,
top five out of that right there.
He didn't even get me in University of Miami.
My top five out of that right there. Does it have to be in order?
Here's the thing with Marvin. Here's the thing with Michael Irvin that he talk about something that nobody ever did in history before him. I remember guys in college running away from defenses and wagging a finger and stuff, but Michael Irvin would do it at midfield. He would spread his arms out at midfield and be running down the field. Like, what are you doing, man? You got a long way to go before you're in there.
He was showboat.
You're not the fastest guy in the field, man. 47.
So does this 47. Have to be
what kind of weirdo number was that for him to wear?
Was he still getting
the 3-point stance? He was balling, though. He was balling.
Like he was in a 3-point stance playing receiver.
It don't matter the number.
Maybe
he's balling.
Maybe that's the thing. Like, yeah, Bucky Brooks, it seems cool that he wore on the back of his jersey on the Bills Bucky Brooks, and you think, like, wow, that's some honor. But it's actually like, oh, yeah, nobody would know who you are. You're just Brooks. Like, what? You're 47, Reggie Wayne. It doesn't matter.
Hey.
Doesn't matter, Michael. I'm wearing the dumbest number, and I'm still smoking it, right?
Hey, getting at it.
Again, no offense to Bucky Brooks.
No offense. Bucky knows we love him.
Can't let you talk about
Bucky. We love him.
All right. So you're number one.
Out of order? Oh, no, in order.
Well, it's hard to try and keep to try and do the math on
that. My number one is easy for me, and I'm going Randy Moss.
You know what? You are not the first guy, and it is not a small minority of players who are out there with Rice and with Moss who say Randy Moss was the better receiver.
I'm just going to say this one comment right here. When I go to elementary schools, middle schools, high schools.
They still say Randy Moss.
They still – no. When a guy jumps over you.
Yeah, they say Randy Moss. You got Moss.
You say Moss.
You got Moss.
You know what I mean?
That's because
From the standpoint of that, Randy Moss changed the game. Like, before Randy hit the scenes, everybody was Jerry Rice. Got to run these routes. Got to get open, get all this separation. When Randy hit the scene, everybody was like, he on my hip. I'm open, quarterback. Throw the ball up. Have you seen Randy?
It was weird.
You know what I mean?
It was so simple.
And that became open. And that's the catch that everybody wants to make, man. And Randy came in, changed the game. It was unbelievable, some of the catches he made. So, I mean, at number one, I got to go Randy. At number two, I got to go Jerry Rice. At number three, I have to go Larry Fitzgerald.
Three!
Larry Fitzgerald.
Over T.O.
Then I'm going to go T.O., then I'm going to go A.B.
Okay. I respect it. Larry Fitzgerald, what's interesting about this is Jerry Rice was not a world-class sprinter.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Largent wasn't. Mm-mm. Antonio Brown is fast, but he also did not have a world-class.
He was 4.5 or something,
right? He's more quick than
he
is fast.
I know, but that's interesting.
When he gets the ball
in
his hands, though, he go too, though. He fast.
I know, but I feel like when scouts evaluate annually who's the best receiver coming out, it almost always comes down to
speed.
In the top two criteria is foot speed. Yeah. And as we look at this list, few of those guys you would rank among the fastest.
One guy that's really got elite speed, and that's Moss.
Yeah, right. Reggie Wayne, go ahead there.
Number one, Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice, because?
For one, 22,000 yards plus.
I'm with
you. That's tough. I'll tell you this. If we had camera phones and YouTube and all that stuff back when Jerry Rice was doing some of his workouts and practices, like, you probably see some awesome
stuff. I done ran to Jerry Rice Hill and all that in the Bay Area.
Like, his work ethic and things that he did on that field – For however long, 20 years, like that gets a 5-star in itself.
I get it, but you know what? To your point, I think you would see those workout videos, and you would say that's otherworldly. But again, like Eric Dickerson running the ball, Jerry Rice made it look too easy.
It's not so smooth.
They're not very many. I can find way more highlights of Lynn Swann or even John Jefferson of the Chargers making acrobatic catches than I can of Jerry Rice doing that.
I totally agree. I mean, he's just he was a trendsetter. He set the stone for everybody. My number two will be Randy.
Randy,
another trendsetter. Like JJ said, like.
they still talk about you got mossed. Like in my generation, it was all about Randy Moss. Like you, whenever Randy Moss, if it was on TV, you was watching. You know what I mean? So that's the type of player that he was.
He's kind of like, to me, and I tried to make this analogy a couple weeks ago. Who's the bad guy from the X-Men? He's the bad guy who can just run through walls. He's not some omnipotent guy who like can do magic or anything else. He can just do one thing and just run through anything, and there's nothing you can do about it.
He can create an opening for whoever's.
That's Randy Moss. Yeah. He doesn't run precise routes. He doesn't do this well. Doesn't do that well. So, who cares? Go long. No, run fast, like, and we're going to throw it as far as we can.
Randy wasn't flashy. You know, he just went out there and he made things that was hard look easy.
Soup. A lot of these jump balls that Randy Moss made.
One-handers.
Like, people don't understand how hard that is.
Yeah.
Like, even the point of tracking the ball. You know, Randy Moss was special at tracking the deep balls and just making it look easy jumping over these guys. That right now, some guys are doing it. They might catch it, but they're going to fall all awkward and boom, dang.
That's
right. You know what I mean?
Double
Randy, Randy just – it was just so easy, and he had a knack for tracking the ball and making them play.
When you talk about tracking the ball with Randy Moss, the one catch that I remember is when he was with New England and he was going up against Darrell Revis, and they threw him a post route, and he caught it in the back of the end zone with one hand.
Yeah.
And it was so effortless.
Man.
And I'm a receiver, and I'm like, yeah. I'm like wow.
Yeah.
Like, man, did you see? Like, yeah. He made things look so – easy.
I remember watching the thing that stands out with Randy Moss for me is his rookie season when it was week after week.
Yes,
and then I think it was a Thanksgiving game down in Dallas.
Dallas, yeah.
When it just was like, it was clear, just run long. And he would land on his feet smooth, never skip a beat. And two or three DBs would just fall on the ground, bump into each other like a cartoon or something.
And we've seen what Randy did with Tom Brady. I couldn't imagine Randy having Montana and Young for his whole career.
Well, that's the thing. If you're going to knock Jerry Rice, which isn't a knock on him, but he did get the play with Montana and Steve Young.
It's not a knock, but Jerry has to
get
those yards. You know what I mean? Like, he has to catch it.
He has to get open.
He has to make them dudes miss.
He has to get open. You said he wasn't the fastest guy, you know, so he's finding ways to get open. You know what I mean? So, I mean, Jerry's Jerry. Randy's.
Okay, go ahead. Who are your three?
My number three is my old teammate, Marvin Harris.
Marv. 88. Okay.
Marvin Harrison.
Three in the Super Bowl era. You got
could
Marv
he
at
have,
three.
Could Marv make it if he had been drafted into the NFC North? Absolutely. What if he had been drafted onto the Packers? Would he have been great
Absolutely.
With Brett Favre?
Absolutely.
He seemed awful small and slightly built. He would make it he'd make it up in Lambeau in December and January.
Well, nobody really wants to play in that cold.
I know nobody wants to, but look at the guy next to you. Like that guy's
he played with a hoodie on. I mean,
talk about setting trends.
Somebody got to do it, man.
You know,
it's
no,
cold
listen,
out there.
Marv, his worth ethic. This dude, I watched him. I went in. Whenever, you know, I'm a rookie now. Marv didn't say much. He was more lead by example. But even though if you ask him something, he'll tell you. But I didn't really want to talk to Marv when I was a rookie. You know, I was a nervous. But Marv came to practice, didn't take a playoff. Every time the offense was going, he was going. He would do special teams. Like, he didn't rest. He did not rest at all. And you sitting back as a young pup, I'm like man, I gotta mm-hmm. I can't get no water. Mm-hmm. You know, like the dude, like he worked like no other. You know what I mean? He's a huge boxing guy. He's, you know, he's not gonna go in and be like Lee Haney. He ain't gonna lift the world. You know what I mean? But the way he trained like boxers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to run and go all day. And to me, man, I was like, man, this dude, nobody works harder.
I don't know what I would have expected before I asked these questions today, but what emerges is that you like the James Jones response to electric. I like those standout highlight reel.
Stuff
I mean, that's
never
what,
seen
what
before.
People like. You admire the technician, the hard worker who does it because he spends the extra time getting it
because,
behind the scenes.
Because I was one of those guys. Like,
Don't say electric can't be hard workers.
I know that.
Technicians.
I live that every day.
No, listen.
I don't know why you laughed at that.
Listen, I even though I ran a 4.4 for my 40, I wasn't the fastest guy. So, like, all of my work, like, I had to be precise on everything. So, my route running, I took that to a whole nother level. I'm a receiver. I got to catch every ball because I know, hey, when I get hurt, if any part of my lower extremity, if I hurt my quad or something, right, what do I have to rely on if I'm still playing with that injury? If I can't run routes, I can't get open. Mm-hmm. I've lost my speed already with my injury. Now I can't run no routes, or I'm struggling to catch a ball. I might as well not play. You know what I mean? So I admire the technicians. I admire the guys that go in there and do the extra to be a great route runner, or do an extra on a jugs machine to work on their hands. You know, so that was me.
I mean, Larry Fitzgerald is that guy. Antonio Brown is this guy Steve Largent was, which is never drop the pass. The primary function of a receiver is to catch every pass thrown to them, and those guys stand out from the rest of this pack. T.O. dropped a lot. I mean, that's the knock on T.O. is as dynamite as he was, he would drop some passes along the way. Okay, so go ahead there. So you go.
My number four is Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Not a fast guy.
Not a fast guy. He was a technician, like you're saying. You know, he was big on that, so I admire that. My number five is actually Terrell Owens.
Ooh, all right.
Terrell Owens, he's my number five. I mean, you can't knock what he did on the field. You can't knock his numbers. That's
no, and I mean, ridiculous that he had to wait so long to go to the Hall because some writers didn't think he was nice in the locker room. It's ridiculous.
I think that was something personal.
So no AB, though.
No AB. You know why it's no AB?
Tell.
Because I want to see if AB can continue to do the same thing without Ben Roethlisberger. I don't know how long Ben got left.
Well, he says now he's got another 5 years. We'll see about that. But Landry Jones, he's AB has done it with Landry Jones throwing.
Has he really done it? Has he really done
it? If AB stays on the course he is going on,
listen,
he could be way higher up on that list.
Listen, Ben Roethlisberger has the ability to extend plays like no other. Because he's a big quarterback. He doesn't go down easy. He can sling you off, keep a play alive, give AB two and three routes in one play, you know, just because he's keeping a play alive. He can run a slant, then he can go to a goal, then come back down to a comeback. Not everybody's going to be able to do that. And a lot of his catches early in his career was that.
Okay, that's fair. But what – so if Jerry Rice – does Jerry Rice make it if you put him with I'm trying to think of with Andy Dalton. Is Jerry Rice great? Is he a Hall of Famer even if it's Andy Dalton for his career?
Cincinnati's tough, man. Like,
well, right. That's right.
No. And probably not.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Jerry Rice had those guys. He was in San Francisco. Will AB continue to have Ben Roethlisberger?
I'm just saying, at least for the next 3 years, he's going to have Big Ben.
Do we know that Big Ben was talking about retiring?
But we're talking about AB as a player, though.
But as a player,
if it's any quarterback in there. But
he's getting all what he's getting because he has.
But whoever the quarterback is in there is gonna sling it to AB. He's gonna get his targets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he, like you just say, he a technician. He could run routes, so he gonna get open, and he's gonna get his target. So,
but that
to
doesn't
me, if
mean,
he's not
that doesn't
hurt,
mean that that
he's
that
gonna keep putting these numbers
that
up.
Landry or what's my man from Tennessee? Who they got Dobbs or whatever?
Josh Dobbs. They have Mason Rudolph. Right.
Yeah, Rudolph. That doesn't mean those guys. They're gonna get targets. They're gonna give them his targets, but it doesn't mean they're gonna be accurate targets.
Who is? Let's wrap it up with
make
this.
The play. That's when you're really going to raise up on this. Start making him.
Mawesome.
Yeah. Mawesome.
Two guys who should be – I mean, Calvin Johnson is going to the Hall. He's going to wind up. I think he's going to go to the Hall, but I think he's one of those guys who was put into the Hall of Fame before.
So? We got to think about that, Calvin going?
Before he ever put – the thing I resent –
I don't think he gets in.
Calvin's going.
He's
now,
going in,
not,
but I resent the fact that he was like, announced as a Pro Football Hall of Famer before he ever played in the NFL. He's one of those guys. He's sort of like Andrew Luck. It's a little bit like, well, this guy can't. Well, we decided that before he ever even
Calvin
did something.
Calvin Johnson is a Hall of Famer, hands down.
I just think if he could have broken to the 10,000-yard count.
He didn't dominate week in, week out.
F them stats, man. You seen the product. They put.
I get it.
Ain't nobody ever put two men – treated a wide receiver like a gunner until Calvin Johnson.
That play alone puts
him in the Hall of Fame. Man, they treated this
all man. These guys see double going? Coverage. Larry Fitzgerald, not in the second half of his career.
Everybody sees double coverage, but two DBs on you treating you like a gunner to stop you and you're lined up at a wide receiver position? Come on, man.
Two quick questions. Who is the most quarterback proof out of this group? Could put a league median QB in there and he would
Randy,
still do it.
Because
well.
You just gotta throw it up.
Okay.
I would say Randy or Fitz. And Fitz have shown that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I would say Fitz.
Yeah, because he's it's been a bunch of
productive no matter
no
what.
Disrespect to the quarterbacks, it, but he has been a bunch strong, of he had, bunch he, of bums he didn't have a besides strong, Kirk.
But don't and, call him bums.
And no. when healthy
and Palmer.
When healthy and ready to go. How many of these guys does Gronk go ahead of? Zero? Some of them?
You talking about
I just think Gronk is the most unstoppable weapon that we've seen along the lines of Randy Moss.
You got to put him in tight ends. You can't put him out there.
I'm just saying. I don't think you could line him up as a – I don't think you could continue for 60 minutes, put him as a wideout. But I'm just saying that there's nothing that NFL defenses can do with that guy.
He's not wanted. We're not hiring here. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. See, I went a little too far. Last question before we wrap it up. James Jones versus Reggie Wayne in a 50-yard dash. Who wins it?
Reggie just told you he ran 4.4. JJ ran 4.5.
You agree, Reggie?
Reggie.
We talk about today?
Today.
Man, I ain't pulling no hamstring.
Oh, today, yeah.
Today I'm talking about.
Today I'll probably pull a hamstring.
He just got through squat.
About the 47-yard mark. I'll pull a hammy. I give Reggie probably the 35-yard mark, so I'll take him right now. But when he played, he get me.
He just got the squat yesterday.
No, we're not talking about playing days. This is about personal dignity.
Oh, right
dignity.
Now. We put
personal
our hands
dignity.
In the ground right now. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I got to bet my money on myself.
I don't know what Reggie running right now.
Reggie could have went from 4.4 to 4.9. I don't know what he's going
to do. Ain't that bad.
I'm not picking – I'm not trying to play favorites in here, but I do remember that there was a little bit of shade thrown for somebody who wore a hoodie out on the field. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the person – who threw that shade, he's wearing a hoodie himself. Yeah. So I think James Jones wins today.
It gets cold in California at night.
I advise the better move is once it's
– He has a hoodie on right now, too.
The one thing I advise James Jones to do is like – and he already is famous for the hoodie, but I said take it to the next level. Pull a Hot Pocket out of there in the middle of the game or a hot dog or popcorn or something.
Because we do be hungry on them sidelines. I wish I would have thought of that. Might have to come up with it, man.
You ever eat on the sideline, Reggie?
No.
Never had a bite to eat?
No.
James?
I
heard they serve chicken soup on the sideline for the Packers.
We had
hot dogs, peanut butter, jelly sandwiches.
I take that back.
I probably shouldn't say this, but – probably every preseason game, it was some hot dogs waiting.
Oh, yeah.
It was hard. In the preseason game?
I mean, you playing one or two.
Yeah, once you take that tape off your ankles and stuff, let me get them hot dogs.
Ask John O'Hare, he spilled mustard on himself on his jersey.
Sometimes we ain't even tape. We just go out there, shoes untied, everything. We got one series.
Get that hot dog.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, great times, at least for me, and I hope for the listener as well. Great insight from two of the greatest fellas that we get to work with here at NFL Media. James Jones, Reggie Wayne, thanks for the time. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce for you later in the week. Meantime, make sure you go check out Dave's of Thunder available.
Dave's of Thunder.
What else? What else do I want to promote? Oh, Good Sports with Adam Carolla. Watch these guys on Total Access. This, that, and the other. We'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce later on. In the meantime, thanks so much. It's been a thin slice of heaven.